From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week, my guest is Anthony Throgmorton from the electronica and prog act Papadozio. Formed at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, not too long ago, Papadozio has achieved great success in a short amount of time, playing huge festivals and headlining big shows throughout the summer. Guitarist Throgmorton, along with keyboardist Billy Brouse, drummer Mike Healy, and bassist Rob McConnell, have plunged deep into the world of electronic music with what has to be one of the more complicated stage plots I've ever heard of. Relentless touring and the success of their album Observations, which was released a year ago, has not only put Papadozio on the map, but made them one of the biggest attractions on the festival circuit today. Let's get to the interview.
Back at my parents' place, they had this old crappy PC, and I had the first version of Fruity Loops. I played a lot of 8-bit video games back in the day and really got into the soundtracks, especially like the Mega Man series. And they're just they're so well composed. And it escapes me that video game soundtracks nowadays are so much less quality, and they have so much less movement and so much less, time involved in the creating process. Back in the day, it was amazing to hear those things. And I tried to basically do a bunch of remixes. I think I was 7th or 8th grade when the computer music thing really started to take over, and I was big into that. I kind of strayed from that and got into doing a bunch of different stuff. I played in kind of heavier metal bands, and then I had a 9-person funk jazz thing. But I wasn't really making the music that was kind of close to home until I started to combine this whole computer music, nerdy kind of aspect to the to the live band thing. And I kind of, when we put them together, now we're kind of pretty much making the music that is, intrinsic to who we are.
So when you met the other members of Papadozio, did they also have this sort of want to merge the elements of a live band sound with these 8-bit computer elements and bringing in electronic samples and all this?
When I met Billy, the keyboard player, I was looking through his CD collection, and he had a Nine Inch Nails CD right beside a Fish album. That was a pretty telltale sign that, he'd be a good candidate for this thing. And yeah, before it was kind of more of a jammy kind of thing. We eventually kind of made the choice that we were just going to make whatever we wanted to make. And if people liked it, great. If they didn't, then we'd fail. And we played our first couple shows wondering whether anyone was going to react in a positive way. But, they did. And that's pretty much where we are now.
All I Knew from Papadozio's album Observations.
It seems like the summer of 2010 has been your coming out party. Suddenly you're on all these major festivals and you've got headlining spots. Can you point to any one factor as the catalyst for all this success?
Well, first of all, we finally got represented professionally. I had been doing all the booking up until this year. Mm-hmm. So to be honest, it's kind of more along the lines of how much work is done. Because, I mean, any other band, and I think bands should listen up for this, any band could do this. There is no musical act on earth that couldn't do this. You just have to talk to people forever, over and over and over again, and constantly, name drop and do all kinds of annoying things. And, that's something I used to do, but I kind of realized that the musical pursuit is way more important than what happens everywhere else. And right. we moved on to doing that. So getting representation is huge, but more than anything else, just working and working and never stopping is just huge. Just don't be lazy. Don't sit around. Don't spend less than 60 hours a week doing what you love, because you could be just as busy doing something you hate and pretty much be just as broke as you are right now anyway. So you might as well get in debt doing something you like.
Exactly. As you've been meandering across the country playing with all these huge bands, have you picked up any new sounds or caught a DJ that was really doing something new and inventive that you'd like to maybe try, maybe bring into the Papadozio sound?
All the time, definitely. I'm really into Eskimo now, and Welder, his stuff is incredible. I don't know, every single time we see somebody else, we definitely, I mean, I think that anybody who would say otherwise would be lying to you. Like, if you watch another act that does something to you or does something to the fans, you have to take influence from it. And really, you know, most of your, you know, musical ideas are merely just kind of twisted and mutated regurgitations of something you've already heard. So I would definitely say that there's a lot of, you know, artists out there that, you know, just have blown me away recently, and I'm really excited about it.
When you go to hit the coasts, East Coast, West Coast, how do you try and dispel that just another Midwest jam band attitude?
We don't really try to battle that. And it's funny, like, you'll see it all over forums. We have taken a lot of time to try to understand the internet and try to understand how people react to promotions and things like that. And we'll get some people out to the show and they'll just be like, oh, I'm going to come see this silly band because it'll be silly. And then they'll leave the show and get back on the forum and say, wow, that was amazing. We have been fortunate to play well during the nights that we really needed to play well, I guess you could say. And that's intrinsic of, I guess, of our success, like, especially in the more, like, snobbier scenes.
Sure.
The harder people that you would think people that are harder to please that live out there. Kind of, we've been very fortunate, and I really do think that there's a lot of great music in the Midwest. And in fact, there's so much great music in the Midwest now more than ever that it's pretty important people pay attention to what's coming out of here, because, you know, there's just as much, you know, in the Midwest as pretty much anywhere else.
Sure. You were saying you played well when you've needed to play well. What's an example of one of those gigs, one of those dates that was just like, do or die, this is big, this could break us in this area, or this could get us access to a bigger club or a better venue or a bigger festival?
I'd say that the biggest example of that this year would definitely have been All Good Music Festival. It was, I pretty much, the very phrase that I've heard mostly in our beginnings of this fall club life that's happening now is, I saw you at All Good, it was great. Or, I saw you at All Good, that was crazy. Or, I saw you at All Good, you guys are different. You know, that I've heard that more than anything else. So that was pretty much when we got on stage, I was like, yeah, let's do this thing, you know. And we'd been touring a lot up until that show, and we really didn't even have a chance to rehearse before it. So it was more, keep your head up, keep your eyes open, and let's make this show as good as we possibly can.
Let's switch gears. Let's talk about your records. Tell me about Observations. It's been out almost a year now. How does that play the part of that natural progression from McGreenery and By the Light of the Stars to where you are now?
It was the next step, I would say. I would say that Observations was kind of more we're trying to push in the direction that we're trying to push. Yet I think it's kind of more telltale of where we were at the time that we composed it. It was a bunch of songs that we had come up with during live improvisation, and kind of turned those riffs into songs. A couple more just on the road ideas. At the time, we've been touring like madmen, and have been for the last couple of years. And Observations is pretty much just a lot of songs that came out of those years. We do all of our own studio work, 100% of our own mastering. Everything that you hear on our albums is comes directly from us. We don't use anyone else's studios. We don't use anyone else's even microphones. We just we self-produce everything to try to preserve our original idea as much as possible. So that album in specific was very, very, it was really us, if that counts as anything.
So there's not really a formula for your creative process. I mean, I guess a lot of the songs may originate with the same person, but there is sort of that you're all carrying the same weight because it is in a jam setting where a lot of these songs are being born.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, yeah, there's definitely, like, personal ideas that come from different members, but to say that if there was any sort of specific, like, method to making the songs, I really don't think there is one, and I hope that there never becomes one, because I really want this to remain as pure as it is, and that's just that, you know, creative energy sparks from thousands of different places, and all it needs really is just to be harnessed and then kind of ran through the process of pop sensibility, so it's not just a completely erratic, crazy, you know, unmusically intelligible mess of notes, you know. I really hope we never get a specific system down. Maybe that would make us more productive, because people are always saying, why don't you guys record more, you know, but we definitely like to focus on the live shows, but the recording process is a lot of fun, and it's a whole lot more fun when you're not sitting there thinking about how much money you're burning up in a, you know, multi-million dollar studio. When right. you're sitting in, you know, in your house with your DIY stuff, maybe we could sound a little more polished in a more expensive studio, but that's not really the sound that we're going for. We're just going for coming directly out of our brains, you know, and I think we're getting pretty close to that now.
Yeah, you do have a really full schedule this fall. When is there time built in for recording, or is that, since that's not such a priority, is it, you know, it'll happen when it happens sort of attitude?
Basically, and you'd be surprised when you don't have to move all your gear to a different place, and you already have everything kind of set up, and you're doing what we call guerrilla tracking. Like we have a couple interface boxes that are here and there. Some of them are in the van. You know, we'll lay tracks down in the van on the way to a show, or we'll lay tracks down, you know, at the house during rehearsal times. I don't know, the way that we, at least if there's one thing that we do a lot, and that's that we kind of lay out the, since we play to metronomes, we kind of lay out the way the song is going to go before we all play it, and or we'll play it together, and then we'll retrack over top of it with new tracks. So we don't always have to all be together to record. So it's not as hard to schedule those times as maybe with a band that has to go to another studio and work with an engineer to accomplish.
Is there enough of that natural improvisation built into your set that a live Papadozio album would really highlight some things that may not come across on a record?
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, definitely. Our approach to improv has been up until this point that there's a specific break point, if not a couple break points in a song, where we'll go off and do our own thing and then kind of look at each other and be like, okay, it's time to get back to this. Which I really like that style, because I think it's really important to have songs. A lot of bands I'll go see, you'll watch them and be like, does this band even have a song? You know what I mean? And it's just like this, you know, constant mellow drone of, you know, mesh of instruments and things like that. With nothing you can walk away from the show remembering. And that's what we try to do. We'd rather have people walk away from the show and remember what we've, like a specific melody or something that we've sang, or something that, you know, some instrument that just got them, and they went away from the show whistling it. You know what I mean? Like, and that's something that only happens if you've either heard the melody a couple times during the show, or if you have heard it more than once in different places. It's kind of like the musical memory thing, like, has to happen. At least for us, that's the kind of music that we've always wanted to make. So we'll do 100% improv songs in the set and write them in there, and sometimes even write the key before we'll even play the show, just to make the flow right. But the format that we're about to get, we're adding a fifth member, the format we're about to get is that we'll be able to segue between songs, which we haven't really been able to do until now because of the way that we perform. We kind of load our songs up on our computers, kind of like you would load a Word file and you know, like Word on a computer. But now that's starting to change because we have a little more processing power and the capability to do a lot more with our computers and so on and so forth.
Can you tell me about this member that you're adding?
Sam Brouse is our keyboard player, Billy Brouse's brother, who's been going to school for the music program that we use, which is Ableton Live. He's been actually going to school for that. he's a jazz-trained pianist. He's a composer extraordinaire. He's a DJ. He also does stuff under the guise DJ Nala and has been doing that stuff for a while. And I don't know, he's great. And the way the format will go is I play keys and guitar, but I'm going to do a whole lot less keys now because he's kind of taking over a lot of that. And it's kind of going to free everybody up. I don't know if you've ever seen a Papadocio show up until now, you'll notice that me and Billy will spend a lot of time looking down because we have to in order to manage all the crazy stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And we've always wanted to get a little bit more into the show, you know, a little bit more time to think about what we're about to do, a little bit more time to engage the crowd, you know, and it's just opening up worlds for us to add this fifth member who is a completely, he's amazingly able at pretty much doing anything. So we're all really excited about it.
Night Colors from Papadocio's album Observations. Let's wrap up my interview with Anthony Thogmart.
On stage, how many of you are running laptops, and what other sort of gear are you using that is allowing you to do those crazy things that you were talking about when you and Billy are looking down all the time?
My computer serves as the clock for the band, which I think is pretty unique. It sends, using Live, it sends out a click track to the drummer, which allows us to do a bunch of time-based effects on every instrument that we have, you know, like whether it's like a gate on the guitar, a delay on the vocals, you know, a pad, an arpeggiator, everything that's kind of synced to the drummer, you get the click track as to how fast the song is. Now we can change that click track, and people would say, well, how does that free you up as a player? Well, we can speed it up, slow it down, stop it, start it. It's all, you know, part of what we do. So there will be, and when Sam joins, there will be three laptops running live, and we do this pretty nerdy thing where we send our MIDI sync signals over Wi-Fi so all the computers can connect to each other. Yeah, people think that's just great. Sound guys just they kind of like put their hand on their forehead and they're just like, whoa, what is this crazy stuff? But that's something we figured out how to do recently. And I mean, if you're not 100% super nerdy about this thing, then you really don't have an edge. You got to spend a lot of time doing this kind of thing. We're the biggest nerds you've ever met in every possible way, and that's just fine with me. Nerds have more fun, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, so MIDI is kind of a forgotten language, and we've just been using it to the fullest. Mike has a little Roland SPDS sample pad that every single band you see in our genre has, but he doesn't use any internal sounds on it. It runs into my computer with a little MIDI cable, and he plays live out of my computer from where he's sitting. So he doesn't need a laptop. I just kind of call up his sounds for him because, I know, he's such an animal. I don't want to take his brain away from, you know, the rhythm.
Right.
So, and then I guess more than anything else, we purposely kept Rob like out of the grid, the bass, on purpose, because he's such an animal musically that and we still want to sound loose here and there, you know.
Rob's the caveman of the band, just out off the grid.
Oh yeah,
living without technology.
Yeah, and he's so much the front man. He's just like he's a great front man. He's a great, you know, he has the chops, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of people, if they're coming to see us for the virtuosity, which I still don't think I have. But we'll come and see Rob and Mike, our rhythm section, who are, they're just, I've never played with better musicians. I'm just so happy to have found them and wrangled them into my thing.
That's fantastic. And so finally, you're trying to get on the boat, Jam Cruise, this coming January?
Yeah. We'd be happy to get on that thing, especially considering all the stuff we're doing in Florida in January. I think that it's really funny, that we have purposely tried to be in Florida last year and this year and for the years to come during January, because it's just so weird to be in a t-shirt in January, and this is kind of fun. So.
Well, that's perfect. Anthony Thogmartin, thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Sure thing.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Thanks goes to Andrew Kuntz and my guest, Anthony Thogmartin. Papadocio will be performing at One Earth Festival this weekend in Spencer, Indiana. Come check that out. East meets West and Old World meets New World next week on the UNS podcast, when my guests are David Satori and Zoe Jakes from the phenomenal Oakland trio Beats Antique. Their album Blind Threshold is out today. Check out a preview on our website. Attention producers, artists, and DJs, the UNS Challenge is up and running. Drop your track into our SoundCloud account and you could have a chance to win Ableton Live 8, a Novation Launchpad, and a session with some of the biggest names in electronic music. Visit theUNS.com/theUNS Challenge for more details. Remember to visit theunts.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. Catch you next week.